You got to love Jeremy Otto teasing updates.
That's next level.
I know.
Got you. Hashtag real radio.
Yeah. Doug Karch got into his cranium.
It's incredible stuff. We might spoil that tease and play Leland audio before 10 o'clock.
I know. I was going to say
sorry, Jeremy.
9:35 Leland. How will he be remembered in Detroit? And yes, a couple things that he said over the weekend that were pretty cool. One, where he addressed the fans. Mm-hmm. Another, where he showed a sense of humor. All right, Stoney, my wife is going to be out of town for a couple days.
Oh, you have the Fortress of Solitude. Yep. Well, it's not that different because you don't have kids or dogs. Well, you do have a cat, but that's okay.
Yeah. And we're getting a TV stand delivered. We're getting a new TV and a TV stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV stand is one that you have to assemble.
All right.
And I think most people would say, while your wife's out of town, you assemble the TV stand for her, right?
If you are handy enough to do it.
Well, I mean, it comes with instructions. I mean, I don't think, it's not like I'm building it with, like, you know.
That chiseling wood and things like that.
Saw and hammer and nails. It's probably going to be screwing.
Comes with a little Allen wrench.
Yeah, basically. Any idiot could do it. So I would assume I'm just going to build it. It's supposed to show up, I think, tomorrow. She comes back Wednesday, I think. So just assemble it while she's gone. Simple, easy, no reason to do a topic. Why would I put this in the prep?
Yeah.
Here's why. Because she said, don't you dare build it.
Oh.
She said, I love putting together boxed furniture.
What?
Said nobody ever. Are you
who
a psychopath?
Who loves boxed furniture?
And like
IKEA must be her favorite store.
It's not IKEA, but it's another one of those. And I'm like, I've never heard of someone who enjoys the detail of putting together all the little instructions and putting the little screws in. But she said she wants to do it. Here's the problem. If I wait, we're going to end up doing it together. And if you've ever assembled something with your significant other, it ends up being 10 times more frustrating, right? Did you misplace this? Where's that part? You're skipping ahead. I'm not at that section yet. No, you got to lift this way. You put it on backwards. I'm going to end up doing it with another person, which is going to be more annoying. She then said, I don't think you'd do it right anyway.
Well, that's my wife does all that kind of stuff because she's right.
So on one hand, I go.
And you're wrong?
Yeah.
On one hand, I go, challenge accepted. You don't think I can do it? I'm going to build it. I'm going to do a great job. It'll be there. But then I'm robbing her of this weird joy that she wants. But then I'm going to be stuck doing it with her, which is going to be more frustrating. How should I handle this?
I think you should do it anyway. And if it comes out right, if not, disassemble it and pretend that it didn't.
She might be mad at me if I assemble it right.
Okay.
Like, how messed up is that situation where I do it correctly and it's all ready to go? And she's like, you took this away from me.
But her point was that you would do it wrong, correct?
That was the secondary point. The primary point, the first thing she said, she goes, it's going to be delivered this week while I'm gone. She thought I was going to agree with her. Like, this was a thing that everybody likes doing. I get the finished product. It looks nice in your living room. I'm not itching to do it. So do I take the cop out and say, well, I'm not itching to do it. She wants to do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I say don't do it. If she says don't touch it, and it's not like she's going to be gone that long. I was going to say if the box is going to sit there and be in your way, just do it. But it's only like a day or two it's going to sit there. If she really wants to do it, let her do it. I mean, is it something she wants to do on her own, or you know you guys are going to do this together? It's pretty large.
Well, that's what I think. So I think she initially is of the belief she can just do it herself.
Okay.
But I don't. I think because...
Oh, but you don't think that she can. So it's both of you don't think the other one can actually do it.
Now that you say that out loud, yes.
Is that where it's headed?
Yes, this is. No, you can't do it. You know, you can't do it.
Open a bottle of wine, do it together.
I think just do it and have like some kind of gift with it.
Oh, like some flowers sitting there with a little, I miss you, honey.
Yes.
Welcome home.
I know you're pissed off that I did it myself, but I just wanted to show you that I'm not a complete moron. I love you and you can do it. The next time we order something like this.
I just think I put myself in a loose... I didn't even put myself. I've ended up in a lose-lose situation here, where if I put it together...
I got a great idea, especially if you listened to the show earlier.
Yeah.
You should take the box and have her assemble it in front of the Detroit Zoo.
For people who missed this, I think it was off-air on Friday. Heather's like, what do you got coming up this weekend? And I said, oh, we're going to the Summer Sips, the drinking thing at the Detroit Zoo.
Yeah. Sounds fun. Sounded like a great time.
Sounds like a great time. $60 a person, bunch of drinks.
Did you have to prepay for this?
No, we prepaid for it, Heather.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, Heather knows where this is going. We're all excited. It's the centerpiece of our weekend. We're going to have a great time, right? Getting all dressed up, planning dinner around it Saturday night. Saturday night rolls around. One problem. It's Friday night.
Got the days mixed up.
Got the days mixed up.
Oh, bummer.
Right. So that's why I said she should just do it at the zoo.
Yeah. No, that's not a good solution. Just don't do it. Just wait till she comes home. Do it together or let her do it if she's excited about it. I don't know. That's what I would do.
Some ticket texts coming in. And of course, we want advice on the phones. 248-539-9797. The ticket texter says, don't do it, Jim. Happy wife. Happy life.
Yes.
Danny,
yes.
Import here on. So then I just basically deal with the frustration of assembling it together if it comes to that. Because there is a chance where she just does it herself. Right. She enjoys it. And
maybe she'll wake up early when she can listen to you talk on the radio
while she assembles it.
Yeah. Right. Next week when you're at Allen Park, it gives you even more time.
No rush. The TV's mounted, so it's not like we need this. For like the store.
When you said TV stand, I was like, gosh, she still has a TV sitting on a stand. It's just a TV console that's underneath.
Yeah, so we can put stuff in there. Sure. Like, well, yes. So that's the purpose of it. So it's not like it's urgent. It doesn't need to get
configured to watch fire TV. Sticks and things like
that. Yeah, basically. You put the fire stick in there. The Xbox will probably go out
knick-knacks.
There. Yeah, little stuff like that. We have the routers out in that room so we can kind of declutter everything and put it all in one place. Phones. Charles Redford, you're on 97.1. What should I do?
Jim, I got to tell you, man, don't do it. Look, I am about your age. I was born in 96. I'm freshly married. I know that if my wife told me not to do something, and I didn't listen to her and I went and did it anyway, I'd be in the doghouse, sleeping on a couch. She'd be so much more angry that I didn't listen to her than she would be happy that I took the initiative to make her life easier.
So it wasn't worth it.
I don't think it's worth it. I think you just let her put it together.
And the answer is probably let her put it together, because then there's a chance I don't have to do it at all.
Right.
And if I do have to do it, then that's the trade-off.
The only risk you're taking by doing it yourself is, or she would say, you know, oh, I said I wanted to do it myself, basically to test you to see what kind of husband you are. But I don't think she would do that.
What if you opened it and started to do it and then you like dropped the top of it and you got a huge gouge in it?
Like I damaged it.
Yeah. Then you're in the, in the doghouse because you didn't listen in the first place.
You package it back up, and then when it gets open, you go, they sent us defective material.
Yes.
That's so much work. Just wait for her.
That's the camp I think I'm in. But now I'm the person who's too lazy to put this together. I don't answer the challenge because I do think I could put it together. But I think I need to not get in my own head about proving that I could do it.
Just say, honey, you want it. You got it.
You got it. Texter says, Jim, let her put it together. But when she starts putting it together, go run some errands so you're not around. You can't get pulled in.
Yes.
And if she has any issues
with it,
then she messed up, not you.
Yes.
This one says, it's obvious she thinks he's incapable and a degenerate. Oh, okay. You can read between the lines on that. My wife is just like her. She loves IKEA. I'm James in Rochester. So there are people who like doing this.
I don't know any, but I guess they exist.
Cookies, you need therapy. No, I have a radio show. I don't need therapy. I can just ask you guys about it.
That's right.
Happy spouse, happy house. If she wants to do it, let her take the lead. Be the assistant if you need to, or just stay the F out of the way. Why swim against the current? Life's hard enough, Jim. Take this win and run.
Yes.
Okay.
First of all, I'm just a little jealous of Jim that he has a house to himself for a couple of days. Yeah. Secondly, I will part this advice to you. When somebody wants to do something for you, let them.
Okay.
I would not touch it.
Sound life advice.
Good idea.
By the way, you heard in the update from Otto, not just the tease of the Leland stuff, the Lions on the pup list. We're going to be out at camp next week. Practice starts on Wednesday. Did you have any thoughts on the three guys on the pup list? None are expected to miss the games.
No. That means there's less chance of them getting hurt during practice.
Who is the most important of the three? Reader, Davenport, Branch.
I think it's Reader, because if he's as good as I think he is, he's going to make Aleem McNeil even better than he is, and it will help out with the pass rush because they'll have more coming in from the inside, despite, you know, that they really didn't address it that much besides Davenport on the other side. Branch, I think we saw what kind of player he can be, and he'll be fine when he's healthy.
I'm super excited for year two Branch, year two Jack Campbell, specifically Branch. I think the guy's got elite football instincts and the idea of like, hey, now that the game speed is something he's used to.
Mm-hmm.
Could he have a big second season? But you're right. The football answer, the guy who will make the most people better, is DJ Reader.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that is arguably the centerpiece of this offseason,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he's the most high-profile addition on defense for this team. I know Arnold, the first-round pick at corner, but I think you have to have some tempered expectations for a rookie corner. The idea is if Reader is the guy they paid him to be, you will remain elite against the run, which means lots of third and longs. Underrated as a pass rusher is Reader, but more important is what he's going to do for McNeil one-on-ones right. against guards. I would love that. Give me third down snaps where McNeil's one-on-one against a guard. He's going to win those snaps. It's going to make Hutchinson better. It may even make that question that you and I still have about the other pass rush spot
mm-hmm.
manageable. I don't know if it's going to make someone a 10-sack guy.
Matthew Judon.
Okay.
A case for Brian Branch that I will make. Remade secondary, you're going to need a guy or guys. He's not the only one, but you're going to need guys who've been there before.
Yeah.
Branch has been there. That's a stabilizing force.
But they might be moving him around a little bit, which I'm open to. I mean, right. Saban moved him around, but he might not be that nickel corner. He might play safety. It's a good problem to have a guy who can play everywhere. But I don't know if it's going to be the stability that he brings. It's going to be playmaking.
The versatility yes. as well. And the other thing is, when you're talking about the secondary, you need to have Kirby Joseph get back to where he was his rookie year.
Amen. So, little Lions news. We got some Leland stuff at 9:35. And, of course, more advice on the ticket text. It's 97.1. We started the show with one update on the Tarek Skubal trade market. We have a second update. We'll get to it later this hour. Jim Leland thoughts. How will he be remembered in Detroit? He goes into the Hall of Fame. Ticket text. Reacting to my situation. Do I assemble the TV stand while my wife is out of town or not? Easy answer. Of course, you build the TV stand and then your wife comes home and it's done. She likes assembling this furniture, she tells me. So who am I to rob?
Is it like a hobby?
I don't think it's a hobby.
She
but
she tells me. Just wait and see.
Right. Because no. I think these can be kind of a headache to put together. I mean, at least I can do it. But now maybe I don't have to. She wants to do it. But then I'm going to end up doing it with her. And that becomes probably more annoying than just doing it yourself at your own pace yes. over
especially
the next couple days.
If she doesn't, as she said, she doesn't think that. What were her words? She didn't think you'd do it right. Okay.
Which then that's the worst case scenario is you make the attempt, you rob her of the ability to build it, and then you build it wrong. Maybe you lose a piece, you break something. But how hard can it be? I don't think that's the issue. Anyway, ticket texters. Someone says, don't put it together. Build your ultimate team for NCAA 25. This one says, cookies. Put it together. Then hand her the spare parts and have her figure things out. Oh no, that's not a good idea.
No.
Cookies, one word. Beer, let her build it. Paul and Shelby, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Jim, let her do it. Don't help her when she does it.
Ooh.
Well.
Said Jim, it's not hard. If she fails, you can say you should have let me do it.
Yeah, good point.
I wouldn't listen to that advice.
No. But it doesn't sound like she's going to fail.
No.
You've made it seem it's going to be pretty easy.
I would think so. Just be a man and put it together, or maybe you're not the head of your household, Ben, in a car. Oh, so that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here this morning.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if I get challenged by Ben in a car, I got to be a real man and do it. Well, Ben texted the show, so I had no choice. I had to do it. He shamed me. Jim, has anybody made a TV network not made a sitcom about your life? John in Lake Orient? No, they have not. This one says, just ask her. No, we've talked about this. She says she right. wants to do this. Texter says, let her build it. My wife loves doing this. Says, I just do the heavy lifting. She does the assembly. It's how we do it. Ken in Lincoln Park. So there you have it. Have you guys ever built something with your significant other?
Yes.
How does it go?
Pretty good.
Oh, you guys are like a good team.
We're good with that. We're not good at painting together.
It starts off okay, and then it's like, let me do it. I said, okay. And that was basically 20 years ago. And then we
never since.
No. Never again.
No. You guys will start.
Don't even start anymore. No.
No, don't even start.
No, no. Okay. It's not worth it.
And you and Colin are a great team.
We're good at building furniture. I mean, we've had cribs and things to assemble as of recently. That goes fine. But we have definitely other things. Like I said, painting. That doesn't mix well. I don't know why, but we do not paint together. Like we painted the baby's room. We painted Brooks's room, but we did not do it together.
What happened?
we just, I don't know. We each do it the wrong way. And then, it just doesn't work out, or someone doesn't cut in well and you get it on the, and it's just frustrating. We just know to avoid that.
So who does, if you need any painting? You guys do it separate? Okay, he does it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or we'll do it like, I'll do it one day and you go do the next coat. Like, I'll do the first coat, you do the second. We just don't paint together.
Just separate time.
Thankfully, it's like not something we have to do all the time.
Clock out, right? You're probably not repainting the whole house.
No. Did you ever hire a painter?
Yes. When we painted, when we moved into our house and we wanted to repaint the majority, we hired somebody. But just like a bedroom, right, we can do that ourselves.
Yeah. Stoney's nodding and said, you would not repaint a bedroom.
But
yourself.
But it seems silly to hire someone for just one little bedroom. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like
but
such a small job.
It just saves you the aggravation.
And maybe so.
All right, we've got the updated Scooble reports. One from, two different insiders. Mm-hmm. One that's been on our radio station recently and another one. So you start getting multiple insiders adding details. We'll update you on the Tarek Scooble situation, 9:35, plus that Jim Leland conversation. How will he be remembered in Detroit? First, Heather with the news.
Well, I'll wrap my news with the biggest story. President Biden has officially dropped out of the 2024 presidential race. He made the official announcement on Sunday. Wasn't that shocking. We knew there was a lot of pressure that was mounting in recent weeks following his performance at the debate. But he has made it official in a letter. He stated that, it's been a great honor to serve as the president. And he said, it has been his intention to seek re-election. He does believe it is in the best interest of the party and the country for him to step down, focus solely on his remaining duties as the president for the remainder of his term. He did endorse Vice President Kamala Harris to replace him. Not official yet, but it seems to be leaning in that direction.
She's the betting favorite. Yes. You know how much we like the betting mm-hmm. markets.
Yeah. So there's a quarterback battle for the number 8. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is challenging Pro Football Hall of Famer Troy Aikman's attempt to trademark 8 for the use on apparel and bags. So Jackson's attorney argues that Aikman's attempt to use 8 would be likely to cause confusion or cause mistake or to deceive the public as to whether they're buying products from Jackson or Aikman's company. Jackson's brand, Era 8 Apparel, has, t-shirts, hats, accessories, things like that. And Aikman launched 8, this light beer brand, in January of 2022. And he's got trademarks for this beer and related things. This appeal is for the use of 8 on apparel and bags only. Nothing related to
the beer
or mm-hmm. a mug or things like that.
So this is like if Aikman wants to put his beer logo on a hat and sell the hat.
Yes, or a shirt, things like that.
Right.
Yes.
Why? This is a stupid question. It's a number. Why can anybody trademark 8?
Well, Ohio State trademarked V, right?
Right. How do we feel about that?
Stupid.
Right. So this is dumb, right? Let them both use 8. You want to put 8 on your own gear?
And this is like, I'm guessing it's the way it's written. Like the cap, it's the written spelling of the number 8 in capital letters.
So not the letter, it's the word
8. It's the word 8. I believe. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
It's all ridiculous.
Yeah. So Sesame Street should be fine.
Yeah.
Number of the day is 8.
The count can count to 8.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah, they should be fine. This is kind of a sad story, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. But before you guys get into the shower, do you test the temperature of the water?
Yes.
You don't get in the shower and then turn the water on.
No, you put your hand under.
Like I always start the water, feel it out, and then I get in the shower once it's to the appropriate temperature.
Sometimes I'll turn on the shower, brush my teeth, and then go in the shower. Yeah.
I'll do things like that, too, because it takes a while to warm up. But there's a guy in Kentucky that didn't do that, and he ultimately died from second and third degree burns.
Oh.
He was staying at a hotel, and this motel, the Econo Lodge, has been ordered to pay this man's family $2 million. So they say this guy checked into a room in November of 2021, and one morning he got in the shower, turned it on, and was immediately struck by extremely hot water that knocked him to the ground, and then it just continued to burn him. Somebody who was staying with him ultimately got him out of the tub. They say in these court documents that the water was at least 150 degrees.
Whoa.
I didn't even think it could get that hot.
It's crazy. And I think of it, I'm like, I would never get in the shower and then turn it on.
No.
But I could think, then I was thinking, well, maybe he was in the shower and then all of a sudden it got that hot. But that's not the way this reads. But he had to spend several months in the hospital and he passed away in June of 2022.
Not going to make light of it at all.
No,
but,
I know.
But if you're in a shower and the water gets too hot, what do?
Jump backwards.
You step out of the water.
If I can. Yeah. It could be. I don't know this man's physical capabilities.
So he
was 76 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe he couldn't jump. It was a tub bathtub, right? It wasn't like a walk-in shower. So maybe he couldn't move that quickly to get out of the tub. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Or step backwards, right?
Yeah.
But, something called kidulting is on the rise. So children are no longer dominating the toy industry. Apparently, data shows that adults 18 and up have surpassed kids ages 3 to 5 to become the biggest consumer demographic for the toy industry. And when I start to talk to you about it, it's not like new trending toys. It's the older toys, the
nostalgia.
Comic book, the old figurines, the not figurines, but like action figures, right? Or
yes.
Ninja Turtles or things like that. And they say that during the pandemic, a lot of adults were searching for normalcy and some found it in the memories from their youth.
Lego, things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So apparently those sales are booming for adults, which I kind of understand. You know what I pulled out yesterday for my daughter and she didn't want to put them away were all my old McDonald's toys. And it just showed
you
that I
saved all the Happy Meal stuff and all that?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Well, I didn't. My mom did.
I know. You have them.
And I was an only child, so it was easy to keep that stuff organized more than having multiple kids that things get broken and ruined. She had a blast. I mean, she didn't want to put them all away. I had like all those Barbie figures. Anyway.
It's in the box next to her teeth.
It probably was.
See, I forget that's a thing with you, and that's... Anyway.
Yes, it is. It's a weird thing. Finally, you guys, beware of deli meat. At least 2 people have died and 28 have been hospitalized in an outbreak of listeria food poisoning. Oh. And it's all been linked to meat that's been sliced at grocery store deli counters across the country. So they say this doesn't appear to be tied to prepackaged deli meat. It's all the deli meat that you're getting at the counter.
Or they slice it
yes.
for you?
Really?
Now,
maybe the deli meat was too hot. Like the shower.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, it's not tied to Michigan yet, but there is a handful of states, a dozen states where this has happened. So just be aware of the symptoms. Fever, muscle aches, nausea, tiredness, vomiting, diarrhea, or really bad things, headaches, stiff neck, confusion.
See, I like going to a deli counter.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to wait a little longer, but...
The meat's usually better.
It's better, and you can portioned. Get the thickness. Do you know what I mean? You can
like
get it sliced the way that
yeah.
you like it better.
All right, be on the lookout.
Just be careful, yeah.
Heather with the news. Jim Leland, how do we remember him in Detroit? Brought baseball back. Also didn't win a championship. He spoke over the weekend. Hall of Fame speech. We'll get to that. Plus the latest on Scoobal from not one but 2 different insiders. It's 97.1. The update on Tarek Skubal, then a little Leland to wrap up the show. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. The Tigers are engaged in talks with the Baltimore Orioles and the Dodgers for Skubal, but he adds it's a long shot that Skubal will be traded. Tigers are listening and have told teams they will only move him if they are overwhelmed by an offer. Well, you know a lot of the names in the Orioles farm system. According to John Morosi, the Tigers are getting to know those guys a lot better too.
Yes, they are.
So the report from Morosi today is that they sent people to AAA Norfolk to watch those players. Things heating up, Stoney.
Due diligence in conversations. That's what we've asked.
Does this make you feel differently, better about Scott Harris?
I didn't feel that much disdain for him anyway. So, but this just, he's doing his job. And that's what you want.
How does he win the deadline? I know we still have a week, and we'll talk about it more, but you're in. How does he win the deadline?
Wins the deadline. Wins the deadline, but he gets the amazing haul for Skubal. He wins the deadline. If they can't do that, he wins the deadline if he can peddle Flaherty, Kelly, or Rogers, one of those two, mm-hmm. one of the catchers, bring up Dingler, and another bat, whether it's Canna, whether it's...
Urshela
or anybody. Or maybe a reliever, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they've done in years past. Yes. Everybody's looking for a pitcher out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You give them, you know, there's no shortage. So a responsible sell or an incredible haul for Tarek Skubal that's undeniable, even by the people who love Tarek Skubal.
Correct.
That's how he wins the deadline.
Yes.
None of this buying stuff.
No.
I know, listen, they won 2 or 3 over the weekend. They've won 4 straight series.
They lost their second best pitcher, arguably.
Yeah. They're still 2 games below 500. They lost Reese Olson for some time. They were already running a bullpen day every 5th day to begin with because Maeda is unsalvageable as a starter. They've had to try to make it work in the bullpen. Their rotation is lean. There are not AAA options. It's why we brought up Jobe earlier.
Yes.
And I listen, the comp is Skeens, 2 months separated by age. Both have MLB stuff. It doesn't feel like the Tigers have been serious about making a go of it this year, so I don't know why they would burn any service time and, right, and rush him up. I don't think it's going to happen. If they were serious, it'd be a move to consider. But I think everything that they've done suggests that they are not in this race. As much as winning changes that equation, they haven't won enough. They're still 6 games back. They picked up a game over the weekend, but the reality is, while the Red Sox dropped out, the Royals stepped in. You're not chasing one team. One team cooling down isn't going to make up a difference for this team.
But Jim, my friend Tony Romo, Jim, there's what, 10 weeks left of the season?
9-10 weeks, sure.
Pick up a game a week. They're in, Jim.
Jim.
No.
It's hard. Hard. So you want to talk Tigers? It's been part of the show. 248-539-9797. The Leland stuff over the weekend was pretty cool.
Yeah. But you know, one other thing about the Tigers real quick. I mean, talking about their pitching problems, I looked at the scheduled starters for the 4-game series in Cleveland. Skubal, undecided. Flaherty, undecided. There's your 4 starters. And unless Frank undecided has an unbelievable backdoor slider, they're in trouble in that game.
The brothers undecided?
Yes. Exactly.
They're twins. One's a lefty, one's a righty, yes. And you just throw them every 3rd and 4th day and see where the season takes
right.
you.
They asked which one you're going to start first, and remember, AJ said, I'm undecided.
Listen, Montero's going to get a look at the end of the season here, yes. But even if you throw, there's just not enough currently on the roster to be inspired about them picking up some steam here. Yes. And then to their credit, they picked up some steam in July, but the reality is they're still below 500 and 6 games out. All right. Jim Leland. How do you define his time in Detroit? His career as a manager is more than just his time with the Tigers, which is why I think it was no doubt that he would make the Hall of Fame, because he won the World Series with the Marlins, because the sheer volume of games he's managed, the wins, you go back to the Pittsburgh days, his totality of his resume was that of a Hall of Famer. His number is retired and will be retired later this season by the Detroit Tigers. How do you view him?
If you're giving out a letter grade...
Sure, we could do that.
I'm giving him an A-, because he gets an A for just invigorating the sport again, making people care about baseball, went to the World Series twice, had great runs, made the playoffs a few other times. And you know what? The minus is because they didn't win the World Series. Otherwise, it would be an A.
This is what his plaque says. Master strategist and motivator galvanized youngsters and veterans to lead 3 franchises to the postseason and won a World Series title. Debuted as a manager with the Pirates in 86, guiding a rebuild that resulted in 3 straight NL East crowns from 90 to 92. After 11 seasons in Pittsburgh, he reassembled the Marlins team to a championship, world championship in 1997. Over 8 seasons at the helm of the Tigers, piloted the team to 3 first-place finishes and AL pennants in 06 and 12. Manager of the Year award twice in the NL and once again in the AL. That's what his plaque reads. Mm-hmm. From a Tigers perspective exclusively, he is one of the men responsible for making baseball relevant to me.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era where the Tigers were terrible. The 90s were brutal for the Tigers.
Sports radio started 30 years ago, 1994. Up until 2006, we never had anything to talk about at all, except you had a strike, you had the Sosa McGuire stuff. But there, as far as locally, there was nothing.
No, and it really hit its all-time low in 03.
Yes.
So 03, I would have been 10 years old. So think about like where you are as a sports fan. Yes. And those impressionable. The Tigers were not, they were an afterthought for me. As someone who was growing up loving sports,
right,
the Tigers were an afterthought. But then things really got kicked into gear with 06. I've called it a baseball renaissance. It felt like we could get back to the days that I had heard about, mm-hmm. right? The 84 Tigers and chasing a World Series. And from 06 to 2014, and Leland was there until 2013, they were in the conversation to win the World Series.
Yes.
And that excitement was real. You talk about from a sports radio standpoint, how fun was it to, after a game, have people losing their mind over game 88.
Right.
94.
Why did you have them hit away on 3-0? You know, it was, I mean, people would, it was great. That's what was great about talk radio and baseball.
And Leland,
the second guessing and the managers, whether they agreed or disagreed, they loved it. They loved to be second guessed.
And Leland, you could tell, was always passionate, always cared. If someone was loafing it, he'd make an example out of him. Mm-hmm. So his legacy is that, but it's also of a team that underachieved.
Yeah.
Flat out, they underachieved. The team should have won a World Series. He was the manager. His decisions with the bullpen, with the lineup, were ripped, were criticized, and I feel like legitimately so.
Some of them, yes. And look, he'll say, and everybody agrees, the team, his best team, didn't even make it to the World Series. That was 2013.
Right. So if your best team doesn't even make the World Series, how much of that is reflected on the manager? And I'm not saying they should take away his Hall of Fame plaque. We're just having a conversation. Right. I think his legacy is a little more complicated than Jimmy Smokes. We all love him. Mm-hmm. He's also the guy that infuriated us, and we kind of forget about that because the team should have won a World Series. So if you were writing the plaque for him, what would you accentuate? What would you say? 248-539-9797.
From a Tiger perspective, I basically say that he... He reinvigorated the sport in this town. And he, you know, talked about it with, you know, 3 million people would come in a ballpark.
Yeah, let's play it. I mean, this is him talking about the fans.
Kenny Rogers was really good for his short period here.
The 06 team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fernando Rodney with the hat just askew.
Yeah, I was surprised he mentioned Rodney ahead of Valverde. If he's going to go
over Valverde had, it's the craziest thing. The season where he didn't blow a save, but the entire time we were all waiting for him to blow a save. Because in that era, it was the bullpen. It was always the bullpen.
What, 38 of 38, if I'm not mistaken, that year?
More. I thought it was in the 40-something.
Maybe 48.
It might have been 48 of 48. Yeah. In an era where we were like, can they get somebody at the back end of that bullpen to shut the door? And that's the thing I'll say about Dombrowski. He always tried to get them someone at the end of the bullpen.
Yes.
Because it was, you know, Jones, Rodney, they added Benoit. Of course, everybody knows Valverde. The Nathan experience.
It didn't work, but they tried.
But they were always trying to add somebody at the back end of that bullpen.
Troy Percival.
There's a name. But yeah, you hear some of those names. Like, you know, he hit the high notes like Pudge and Cabrera mm-hmm. and Mags, but like Placido Polanco.
Yeah, he loved Placido Polanco.
Two-hole hitter. Choke up. Get on base, put the ball in play, underrated.
Mm-hmm. Not kidding when I say this. I was kind of waiting for him to say Don Kelly.
I know. That was his guy.
He loves Don Kelly.
Yeah.
I know.
Donnie Kelly, baby.
DKB.
Mm-hmm.
He also told a bit of a little stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Jim Leland, here's one of the cuts that you may have seen. It's gone viral, Jim Leland, on making the Hall of Fame. It's his wife, Katie, right?
It's a great line.
It's a great line. It You're not in my wife.
Great line. So, hey, Jim.
Yes. Hey, Stoney.
The Big Ten, you know, media days are this week.
Yeah, they kick off tomorrow, right?
Coming up next, the preseason Big Ten poll results are out. Where do you think Michigan and Michigan State are ranked out of the 18 teams?
Oh, my guess now or after the...
After.
I'll ponder.
You ponder.
I'll ponder. We'll tell you next. 97.1. Some ticket text on Leland and how you will remember him. Stoney also teased that we have the Big Ten. Is it the media poll?
I assume it is.
Media days are this week. Starting Tuesday, they go Wednesday. Thursday, Michigan State will have their players and coaches on Wednesday. Michigan's on Thursday. Stoney, I gave you a guess.
Right.
Off air. Mm-hmm. Where would Michigan be? Where would Michigan State be?
Mm-hmm.
I said 3 for Michigan, mm-hmm. 13 for MSU. Have not looked.
Nope.
How'd I do?
You were closer with Michigan than you were with Michigan State.
But I didn't get either of them.
No. Let's do it from the bottom up, shall we?
Oh, boy.
At 18, you can guess. 18.
The worst team?
Mm-hmm. With 65 points.
Worst worst team in the Big Ten this season. The update on Tarek Skubal, then a little Leland to wrap up the show. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. The Tigers are engaged in talks with the Baltimore Orioles and the Dodgers for Skubal, but he adds it's a long shot that Skubal will be traded. Tigers are listening and have told teams they will only move him if they are overwhelmed by an offer. Well, you know a lot of the names in the Orioles farm system. According to John Morosi, the Tigers are getting to know those guys a lot better too.
Yes, they are.
So the report from Morosi today is that they sent people to AAA Norfolk to watch those players. Things heating up, Stoney.
Due diligence in conversations. That's what we've asked.
Does this make you feel differently, better about Scott Harris?
I didn't feel that much disdain for him anyway. So, but this just, he's doing his job. And that's what you want.
How does he win the deadline? I know we still have a week and we'll talk about it more, but you're in. How does he win the deadline?
Wins the deadline. Wins the deadline, but he gets the amazing haul for Skubal. He wins the deadline. If they can't do that, he wins the deadline if he can peddle Flaherty, Kelly, or Rogers, one of those two, mm-hmm. one of the catchers, bring up Dingler, and another bat, whether it's Canna, whether it's
Urshela
or anybody. Or maybe even a reliever, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they've done in years past. Yes. Everybody's looking for a pitcher out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You give them, you know, there's no shortage. So a responsible sell or an incredible haul for Tarek Skubal that's undeniable, even by the people who love Tarek Skubal.
Correct.
That's how he wins the deadline.
Yes.
None of this buying stuff.
No.
I know, listen, they won 2 or 3 over the weekend. They've won 4 straight series.
They lost their second best pitcher, arguably.
Yeah. They're still 2 games below 500. They lost Reese Olson for some time. They were already running a bullpen day every 5th day to begin with because Maeda is unsalvageable as a starter. They've had to try to make it work in the bullpen. Their rotation is lean. There are not AAA options. It's why we brought up Jobe earlier.
Yes.
And listen, the comp is Skeens, 2 months separated by age. Both have MLB stuff. It doesn't feel like the Tigers have been serious about making a go of it this year, so I don't know why they would burn any service time and rush him up. I don't think it's going to happen. If they were serious, it'd be a move to consider. But I think everything that they've done suggests that they are not in this race. As much as winning changes that equation, they haven't won enough. They're still 6 games back. They picked up a game over the weekend, but the reality is, while the Red Sox dropped out, the Royals stepped in. You're not chasing one team. One team cooling down isn't going to make up a difference for this team.
But Jim, Tony Romo, Jim, there's what, 10 weeks left of the season?
9-10 weeks, sure.
Pick up a game a week. They're in, Jim.
Jim.
No.
It's hard. Hard. So you want to talk Tigers? It's been part of the show. 248-539-9797. The Leland stuff over the weekend was pretty cool.
Yeah. But you know, one other thing about the Tigers real quick. I mean, talking about their pitching problems, I looked at the scheduled starters for the 4-game series in Cleveland. Skubal, undecided. Flaherty, undecided. There's your 4 starters. And unless Frank undecided has an unbelievable backdoor slider, they're in trouble in that game.
The brothers undecided?
Yes, exactly.
They're twins. One's a lefty, one's a righty. Yes. And you just throw them every 3rd and 4th day and see where the season takes
you. They asked which one you're going to start first. And remember, AJ said, I'm undecided.
Listen, Montero's going to get a look at the end of the season here. Yes. But even if you throw, there's just not enough currently on the roster to be inspired about them picking up some steam here. Yes. And then to their credit, they picked up some steam in July. But the reality is they're still below 500 and 6 games out. All right. Jim Leland. How do you define his time in Detroit? His career as a manager is more than just his time with the Tigers, which is why I think it was no doubt that he would make the Hall of Fame. Because he won the World Series with the Marlins. Because the sheer volume of games he's managed, the wins, you go back to the Pittsburgh days. His totality of his resume was that of a Hall of Famer. His number is retired and will be retired later this season by the Detroit Tigers. How do you view him?
If you're giving out a letter grade.
Sure, we could do that.
I'm giving him an A-, because he gets an A for just invigorating the sport again, making people care about baseball. Went to the World Series twice. Had great runs. Made the playoffs a few other times. And you know what? The minus is because they didn't win the World Series. Otherwise, it would be an A.
This is what his plaque says. Master strategist and motivator galvanized youngsters and veterans to lead three franchises to the postseason and win a World Series title. Debuted as a manager with the Pirates in 86, guiding a rebuild that resulted in three straight NL East crowns from 90 to 92. After 11 seasons in Pittsburgh, he reassembled the Marlins team to a championship, world championship in 1997. Over eight seasons at the helm of the Tigers, piloted the team to three first-place finishes and AL pennants in 06 and 12. Manager of the Year award twice in the NL and once again in the AL. That's what his plaque reads. Mm-hmm. From a Tigers perspective exclusively, he is one of the men responsible for making baseball relevant to me.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era where the Tigers were terrible. The 90s were brutal for the Tigers.
Sports radio started 30 years ago, 1994. Up until 2006, we never had anything to talk about at all, except you had a strike, you had the, you know, the Sosa McGuire stuff, but there, as far as locally, there was nothing.
No, and it really hit its all-time low in 03.
Yes.
So 03, I would have been 10 years old. So think about like where you are as a sports fan. Yes. And those impressionable. The Tigers were not, they were an afterthought for me. As someone who was growing up loving sports,
right,
the Tigers were an afterthought. But then things really got kicked into gear with 06. I called it a baseball renaissance. It felt like we could get back to the days that I had heard about, mm-hmm, right? The 84 Tigers and chasing a World Series. And from 06 to 2014... and Leland was there until 2013, they were in the conversation to win, right, the World Series.
Yes.
And that excitement was real. You talk about from a sports radio standpoint, how fun was it to, after a game, have people losing their mind over game 88.
Right.
94.
Why did you have them hit away on 3-0? You know, it was, I mean, people would, it was great. That's what was great about talk radio and baseball.
And Leland,
the second guessing and the managers, whether they agreed or disagreed, they loved it. They loved to be second guessed.
And Leland, you could tell, was always passionate, always cared. If someone was loafing it, he'd make an example out of him. Mm-hmm. So his legacy is that, but it's also of a team that underachieved.
Yeah.
Flat out, they underachieved. The team should have won a World Series. He was the manager. His decisions with the bullpen, with the lineup, were ripped, were criticized, and I feel like legitimately so.
Some of them, yes. And look, he'll say, and everybody agrees, the team, his best team, didn't even make it to the World Series. That was 2013.
Right. So if your best team doesn't even make the World Series, how much of that is reflected on the manager? And I'm not saying they should take away his Hall of Fame plaque. We're just having a conversation. Right. I think his legacy is a little more complicated than Jimmy Smokes. We all love him. Mm-hmm. He's also the guy that infuriated us, and we kind of forget about that because the team should have won a World Series. So if you were writing the plaque for him, what would you accentuate? What would you say? 248-539-9797.
From a Tiger perspective, I basically say that he... He reinvigorated the sport in this town. And he, you know, talked about it with, you know, 3 million people would come in a ballpark.
Yeah, let's play it. I mean, this is him talking about the fans.
Kenny Rogers was really good for his short period here.
The 06 team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fernando Rodney with the hat just askew.
Yeah, I was surprised he mentioned Rodney ahead of Valverde. If he's going to go,
yeah, Valverde had, it's the craziest thing. The season where he didn't blow a save, yes, but the entire time we were all waiting for him to blow a save.
Yeah.
And because in that era, it was the bullpen. It was always the bullpen.
Maybe, 38 of 38, if I'm not mistaken, that year?
Then more. I thought it was in the 40-something.
Maybe 48.
It might have been 48 of 48. Yeah. In an era where we were like, can they get somebody at the back end of that bullpen to shut the door? And that's the thing I'll say about Dombrowski. He always tried to get them someone at the end of the bullpen.
Yes.
Because it was, you know, Jones, Rodney, they added Benoit. Of course, everybody knows Valverde. The Nathan experience.
It didn't work, but they tried.
But they were always trying to add somebody at the back end of that bullpen.
Troy Percival.
There's a name. But yeah, you hear some of those names. Like, you know, he hit the high notes like Pudge and Cabrera, mm-hmm, and Mags, but like Placido Polanco.
Yeah, loved Placido Polanco.
Two-hole hitter. Choke up. Get on base, put the ball in play, underrated.
Mm-hmm. Not kidding when I say this. I was kind of waiting for him to say Don Kelly.
I know. That was his guy.
He loves Don Kelly.
Yeah.
I know.
Donnie Kelly, baby.
DKB.
Mm-hmm.
He also told a bit of a A little stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Jim Leland, here's one of the cuts that you may have seen. It's gone viral, Jim Leland on Making the Hall of Fame. It's his wife, Katie, right?
It's a great line.
It's a great line. It You're not in my wife.
Great line. So, hey, Jim.
Yes. Hey, Stoney.
The Big Ten, you know, media days are this week.
Yeah, they kick off tomorrow, right?
Coming up next, the preseason Big Ten poll results are out. Where do you think Michigan and Michigan State are ranked out of the 18 teams?
Oh, my guess now or after the...
After.
I'll ponder.
You ponder.
I'll ponder. We'll tell you next. 97.1. Some ticket text on Leland and how you will remember him. Stoney also teased that we have the Big Ten, is it the media poll?
I assume it is.
Media days are this week. Starting Tuesday, they go Wednesday, Thursday. Michigan State will have their players and coaches on Wednesday. Michigan's on Thursday. Stoney, I gave you a guess.
Right.
Off air. Mm-hmm. Where would Michigan be? Where would Michigan State be?
Mm-hmm.
I said 3 for Michigan, mm-hmm. 13 for MSU. Have not looked.
Nope.
How'd I do?
You were closer with Michigan than you were with Michigan State.
But I didn't get either of them.
No. Let's do it from the bottom up, shall we?
Oh, boy.
At 18, you can guess. 18.
The worst team?
Mm-hmm. With 65 points.
Worst team in the Big Ten this season. Indiana.
Purdue.
Okay.
17.
Indiana.
Yes. 16.
It's not Illinois.
Michigan State.
See, I was optimistic, putting so 13th out of 18.
I know, and I was going to bet them over 4.5, but I don't know. Every time I bet on them, I've lost 2 future bets with them back-to-back years.
Illinois?
15.
Not Illinois.
Nope.
Rutgers?
Nope.
Maryland?
Nope.
Who am I missing? Just
new team.
UCLA.
Yes.
Northwestern.
14 is Northwestern.
Then Illinois.
13 Illinois.
Okay,
12,
now we're starting to hum here.
12.
Maryland.
Close.
Rutgers.
No.
Okay, who is it?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. 12.
Maryland is 11.
Okay, there's so many teams to keep track of. Top 10.
10.
Rutgers.
Close.
Who is it?
Washington is 10.
Okay, then Rutgers.
Rutgers is 9.
I keep guessing Rutgers. They can't be in the top 5.
8.
I don't have a list of teams in front of me. USC.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. Then Iowa, maybe?
7. Wisconsin.
Okay.
6.
Iowa.
USC.
Then Iowa.
5. Iowa.
Yeah.
4.
Penn State. Michigan.
Michigan 4. Penn State 3. Oregon 2. Ohio State 1.
Well, that's what it's going to come down to. Like Michigan and Penn State don't play each other this year.
Right.
You're probably getting 3 teams from the Big Ten, 3 teams from the SEC. John would put the whole damn conference in. But, you know, 4, you're on the bubble, right? And
yeah.
I think if Michigan goes 10-2, they're in. They're the 3rd best team in the Big Ten, and they're in. If they go 9-3, and their 3 losses presumably would be to Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State, it'd be a resume lacking any signature win, and at 9-3, you might be 4th in the Big Ten, and then you're at the mercy of the selection committee.
They might
still get in because of the brand, but I would loathe it. You got to earn your way in.
Right. I don't have Penn State's schedule. And 2 of those losses, by the way, would have been at home.
Right. My thing is you got to win 1 of your 3 big games, and you're in the playoff. It's not asking much. If you can't do it, let someone else go to the playoff and better luck next year.
Right. Look, you'll talk more about Michigan football tomorrow because you're going to be outing. To me, it's obviously whoever is going to be a successful quarterback and the offensive line.
Do you think we will talk about Michigan's quarterback room the way we talk about the Tigers offense? Should have got somebody? Should have gone to the portal? Because look around the sport. Oregon added Dylan Gabriel. Ohio State added Will Howard. If you don't have a guy, go get a guy. That's the sport, right?
Right.
Those are the 2 top teams in the Big Ten you're chasing. And Penn State's bringing back a returning starter. Otherwise, they probably would have gone to the portal, too.
Well, they obviously believe in Orji and whoever else is there. Tuttle, they kept Tuttle. So
you don't sound inspired.
No, but you never know. What people have told me who've been watching them work out and things like this isn't even John. when Orgy's on, he's unfreaking believable, but when he's off, he's awful. So,
like, I could see the argument to he's a runner. They can embrace more of that in the offense. Lean on the ground game. You don't throw interceptions if you keep the ball on the ground.
Four new starters on the offensive line. That's the problem.
But the receiver room's pretty thin, too. Yeah. So it may be run the ball, play defense, old school Big Ten ball, and that's probably enough to win nine games. The question is it enough to beat one of the heavy hitters?
Right. Clock management against Texas and Oregon are going to be crucial.
Yeah. Michigan State, you said, was 16th?
16th.
Of 18 teams. Just so much work that has to be done there.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of Jonathan Smith or anything like that.
No, I don't think so. And, you know,
I think people were maybe surprised because they think Chiles coming in, they'll get like a boost and a bump.
Yes.
But they wanted Oregon State playing physical running football with an offensive line that is not yet built in East Lansing.
No.
So,
but they're getting there if you believe, you know, recruiting stuff. But
like Dion tried to on the fly turn Colorado around, and you can't cheat the trenches.
No.
That's the one area you can't cheat.
No.
Some ticket text on Leland and how you will remember him. Stoney also teased that we have the Big Ten, is it the media poll?
I assume it is.
Media days are this week. Starting Tuesday, they go Wednesday, Thursday. Michigan State will have their players and coaches on Wednesday. Michigan's on Thursday. Stoney, I gave you a guess.
Right.
Off air. Mm-hmm. Where would Michigan be? Where would Michigan State be?
Mm-hmm.
I said 3 for Michigan, mm-hmm. 13 for MSU. Have not looked.
Nope.
How'd I do?
You were closer with Michigan than you were with Michigan State.
But I didn't get either of them.
No. Let's do it from the bottom up, shall we?
Oh, boy.
At 18, you can guess. 18.
The worst team?
Mm-hmm. With 65 points.
Worst team in the Big Ten this season. Indiana.
Purdue.
Okay.
17.
Indiana.
Yes. 16.
It's not Illinois.
Michigan State.
See, I was optimistic, putting 13th out of 18.
I know, and I was going to bet them over 4.5, but I don't know. Every time I bet on them, I've lost 2 future bets with them back-to-back years.
Illinois?
15.
Not Illinois.
Nope.
Rutgers?
Nope.
Maryland?
Nope.
Who am I missing? Just
new team.
UCLA?
Yes.
Northwestern?
14 is Northwestern.
Then Illinois.
13, Illinois.
Okay,
12,
now we're starting to hum here.
12.
Maryland.
Close.
Rutgers.
No.
Okay, who is it?
Minnesota. 12. Maryland is 11.
Okay, there's so many teams to keep track of.
Top 10. 10.
Rutgers.
Close.
Who is it?
Washington is 10.
Okay, then Rutgers.
Rutgers is 9.
I keep guessing Rutgers. They can't be in the top 5.
8.
I don't have a list of teams in front of me. USC.
Nebraska.
Then Iowa, maybe?
7, Wisconsin.
Okay.
6.
Iowa.
USC.
Then Iowa.
5, Iowa.
Yeah.
4.
Penn State. Michigan.
Michigan, 4. Penn State, 3. Oregon, 2. Ohio State, 1.
Well, that's what it's going to come down to. Like, Michigan, Penn State don't play each other this year.
Right.
You're probably getting 3 teams from the Big Ten, 3 teams from the SEC. John would put the whole damn conference in. But, you know, 4, you're on the bubble, right? And
yeah.
I think if Michigan goes 10-2, they're in. They're the 3rd best team in the Big Ten, and they're in. If they go 9-3, and their 3 losses presumably would be to Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State, it'd be a resume lacking any signature win, and at 9-3, you might be 4th in the Big Ten, and then you're at the mercy
right.
of the selection committee.
They might
still get in because of the brand, but I would loathe it. You got to earn your way in.
Right. I don't have Penn State's schedule. And 2 of those losses, by the way, would have been at home.
Right. My thing is you got to win 1 of your 3 big games, and you're in the playoff. It's
yes.
not asking much. If you can't do it, let someone else go to the playoff
Correct.
And better luck next year.
Right. Look, you'll talk more about Michigan football tomorrow because you're going to be outing. To me, it's obviously whoever is going to be a successful quarterback and the offensive line.
Do you think we will talk about Michigan's quarterback room the way we talk about the Tigers offense? Should have got somebody? Should have gone to the portal? Because look around the sport. Oregon added Dylan Gabriel. Ohio State added Will Howard. If you don't have a guy, go get a guy. That's the sport, right?
Right.
Those are the two top teams in the Big Ten you're chasing. And Penn State's bringing back a returning starter. Otherwise, they probably would have gone to the portal too.
Well, they obviously believe in Orji and whoever else is there. Tuttle, they kept Tuttle. So it's
you don't sound inspired.
No, but you never know. What people have told me who've been watching them work out and things like this isn't even John. When Orji's on, he's unfreaking believable, but when he's off, he's awful. So,
like, I could see the argument to he's a runner. They can embrace more of that in the offense. Lean on the ground game. You don't throw interceptions if you keep the ball on the ground.
Four new starters on the offensive line. That's the problem.
But their receiver room's pretty thin, too. Yeah. So it may be run the ball, play defense, old school Big Ten ball, and that's probably enough to win nine games. The question is it enough to beat one of the heavy hitters?
Right. Clock management against Texas and Oregon are going to be crucial.
Yeah. Michigan State, you said, was 16th?
16th.
Of 18 teams. Just so much work that has to be done there.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of Jonathan Smith or anything like that.
No, I don't think so. And, you know,
I think people were maybe surprised because they think Chiles coming in, they'll get like a boost and a bump.
Yes.
But they wanted Oregon State playing physical running football with an offensive line that is not yet built in East Lansing.
No.
So,
but they're getting there if you believe, you know, recruiting stuff.
But like Dion tried to on the fly turn Colorado around, and you can't cheat the trenches.
No.
That's the one area you can't cheat.
No.